whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Good morning, everybody. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Let's get our heads right on a Thursday. Tough to do these days. I fully get it, and I am fully with you on the challenges of getting my own head right every single day. The doom scrolling in my home has become an epidemic. I do fear. My wife and I both talking about it this morning. Our kids kind of stumbling around the house looking for food, shelter, as my wife and I just scrolling on our phones, figuring out how and when we may need to evacuate, what we need to take with us if something happens. It's been a really interesting first week of the work year for the Ben and Woods program. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel, the executive producer. How much doom scrolling is going on in the Reindel household?
Not a ton.
Not a ton? You're lucky.
More with my wife. I guess it's not really doom scrolling. It's doom streaming.
Doom watching.
Yeah. Doom watching. You know, it's just, it's absolutely horrible.
It's horrible.
What's going on up in L.A. right
now. No question. No question about it. To my left, Benjamin R. Higgins. He's here, and let's get a verdict on how the old pipes are sounding.
I've recovered the lower range of my voice.
Okay, so not the upper range.
No.
Okay. The lower range sounds pretty good.
Yeah, there's going to be no falsetto today. Oh. I have to keep it very low. In a world.
Will you try?
One hero emerges.
Will you try Frankie Valli's Sherry right now?
Just nothing comes
nothing
out.
Nothing comes out.
Nothing comes out. Nothing comes out. That's it. I'm down here for the day.
All right, that's fine. It's a good place to be, I guess. How much doom scrolling do you do?
I try to avoid it, but occasionally you just like hit one, and then you go, oh, it's so depressing. The fires. I found out yesterday that my wife's cousin and her husband, and I didn't even realize this, had just moved from New York, bought a new house in the Palisades.
My God,
it's
man,
gone.
Gone.
And it's like, oh my goodness gracious.
Yeah. Yeah, I spent probably a little too much time looking at it yesterday. Devastating. Talking to a couple of buddies that live up there, our buddy Jack, who's a postman up there, was texting with Jack. He was sending me some videos of just this apocalyptic, insane scene. And then, you know, I don't know. I get affected by stuff. I really do, and I shouldn't. And, you know, I got things going on in my family that I'm worried about. Not my you know, Bo and Taylor and Hannah, but, well, I mean, yeah, you always have that when you have kids and a family. But, like, Hannah and I this morning were legitimately, okay, so if something like this were to happen, what do we grab? Where do we put it? What should we take? It was a little bit sobering, too, to realize, like, I don't have a lot of stuff that I would need to take. Like, for me, personally,
I mean, we have a go bag in our garage.
What's in it?
Like water and
food,
blanket.
And, you know, okay.
Like the emergency. It's an emergency bag. We have a go bag and a fire folder.
We have a fire folder as well, which I just found out.
All of our documents,
all of our very important documents. Yes,
wedding certificates.
Yep.
Marriage license. You know,
kids'
all that.
Birth certificates. Yep.
Yeah, birth certificates. Yeah, we have that so that it's one thing to grab. Like,
okay,
on the way out. You grab that one thing.
I mean, you
thing.
Need your gold record, your Terminator guitar. I mean, what more do you need?
You're right. I mean, honestly, like all my stuff are like collectibles.
Right.
And like, do I really want to be running out of the house with like my Johnny Cash autograph and my David Bowie autograph? Like running out, like, no, make room for these. You know what I mean?
Wait,
like,
where are the kids?
Where are those kids? I mean, what do you take? What do you take? Pictures? I mean, we all have our pictures on our phones now, right? It's not like it used to be. So I just, I don't know, man. It just, when you think about it, it really, really, it really, really makes you sad. And so many people are out there working their tails off up in L.A. right now, the firefighters, and they need help. And the humane societies are working overtime, and shelters are working overtime. And
You know,
it's tough.
Now I'm thinking about it. I did do a little bit of doom scrolling yesterday, and it kind of was heartbreaking to, like, one example. I'm sitting there, and I'm on Instagram, and TMZ posts that Paris Hilton lost her Malibu home,
right.
Burned to the ground, nothing left. I pressed the comments.
People are terrible, man.
Serves her right.
Yeah.
You know? Or
she's
who cares?
Rich. Who
she's
cares? Rich.
I'm like,
I know,
dude. Bro, what?
Paulie,
what?
Trust me.
Like, come on.
We've
guys.
Lost. Hey, man, I'm gonna tell you right now.
We have lost our way.
We've lost the plot. We've been losing the plot for a long time, but we have officially lost the plot. When something like this happens to our fellow Americans, and the first thing people do is go, "Well, whose fault is it? Oh, it's this guy's fault, or it's that person's fault, or it's this person's fault, it's that person's fault." Instead of, "How can I help? How do I help? What's the best way I can help my fellow Americans, rich, poor, black, white, gay, straight, whatever? How do I help them?" We've lost the effing plot.
It's a natural disaster.
It's a natural disaster.
Everywhere in the world.
It is really.
And they're unavoidable.
Really, really tough, man. The reading of comments these days is that's what gets me. When I say doom scrolling, that's what gets me. It's I can feel humanity being sucked out of my body. When I read the comments these days, whether it's about anything. I mean, it's anything at all. And it's just like, I think a nice social media break is probably good for a lot of people. I'm probably one of them.
Like, it shouldn't matter anything about, like, how you feel about this person.
Correct.
Like, people are losing their homes. They're losing everything they have.
I mean, bro.
People are dying. Like, if I see an update that says Max Muncy's home burned to the ground.
I'd be devastated for Max Muncy.
For Max
it's
Muncy.
Awful.
You know what I mean?
It's
like,
awful.
Anybody that says anything other than that's horrible, and I'm sorry, you're wrong.
It sucks, dude. It sucks. I mean, it is just as tough of a pill to swallow as any of them out there. You know, it really is. So, yeah, the comment sections were pretty brutal yesterday. I mean, I saw people ripping on Billy Crystal and his wife lived in the same home for 46 years. It burned to the ground. They have nothing left. He's, what, 80 years old? People are like, ha ha. You rich turd. I'm like, Billy Crystal? Really? All right. I mean, I guess you're all entitled to your opinion, but, you know, I got two little boys. I'm going to teach them, if it kills me, to ask how they can help first. That's the in my opinion, that's the right way to do it. Instead of, all right, well, whose fault is it? How can I help? You know, how can I help these people that need help? How can we help here as a program with a platform? I was sharing a lot of stuff from my Instagram yesterday. I saw Ruben Niebla share a really, really cool it summarizes a lot for people. People were texting me stuff all day. I donated to the Pasadena Humane Society. That they need help. They need money. They need bowls and food and water and things like that. So, you know, I guess if you're... It's just kind of the way that it is right now, you know, and that's the part, the lack of humanity that I see on a daily basis is pretty tough. It's pretty tough to stomach. So I think, you know, trying to get back into just focusing on what I can control, and that's my attitude, my activity, and, you know, my general overall sense of purpose, which is my family and my career and things like that. But any way that we can help, please let us know. How are you feeling, by the way?
Well, those are the big scale problems of the world. I'm kind of dealing with a smaller scale problem this morning because on my way to work.
What a throwback, by the way.
It's funny. We were talking yesterday in the Rindle Report about how so many people carry spare underwear with them in case of an emergency accident.
Yeah, and you scoffed at it.
I did.
Yeah, you scoffed.
I did.
Oh, well.
I was drinking my coffee in my car on the way here, and somehow as I picked it up, it hit my knee and then completely dumped right in my crotch, just like under it, like way, and it was pouring and I couldn't, and like half of it.
It just wouldn't stop.
Half of it just emptied. Scalding hot.
Scalding hot.
No joy in my life.
And I feel it all, like, filling up the area down there. And I know,
How's your taint?
It's scalded. It's
you have a scalded?
Slightly
right
scalded,
right now you're
yes.
sitting in here with a scalded taint.
And obviously I've got a coffee stain that stretches just completely through the undercarriage. And I could feel it all the way right through the underwear. It was...
That might be the single worst spot on your body for
hot coffee.
Yeah.
It's a good topic.
I will say, it had been about 15 minutes at least. It wasn't hot like minute out of the pot. It was like 15 minutes and had cooled off a little bit. So it was still really hot.
Hot liquid to the taint is really never hot. Good. Even in the shower, it's not great.
No.
It's probably why that area is hidden where it is.
Right.
It's not exposed to the scalding hot water.
It's hard to get the hot water there.
Yes.
But somehow I managed to get... to get it down there quite a bit. I mean, we're talking a good...
16-ounce cup with 8 ounces?
I would say 6 to 8 ounces got completely down there.
So he walks in. He walks in this morning and he goes, well, I guess I shouldn't have laughed at that story yesterday because I could sure use some. And I'm like, oh, no. He goes, no, not that. But the hot coffee. And then he turns around and he has that little... diarrhea butt, where it's the little oval around your butt.
Brown, of course, coffee is brown.
It's around the little oval from the top to the bottom, and I just die. I go, dude, that's so awful. It's an insult to injury because you just burned your taint, and now you got to walk around with a doo-doo stain.
Now everyone's like, ah, that guy.
No, hold on real quick.
No, you don't understand. Everybody that Ben walks past is like, hey, it's coffee.
It's coffee. I need a sign.
They're like, what? They haven't even seen him yet.
So the worst part is, after the show today, you're going... You're going to play golf at Torrey Pines for the media day.
I mean, they do sell clothes.
I would go into the pro shop and buy you some shorts,
bro. Might have to buy some shorts or something.
Let me see. Turn around. Let me see the stain if it's still there. Oh, dude, yes, it is there. Oh, you look like you S'd your pants.
It hasn't really been my week, that's for sure.
Oh, my stomach. I am absolutely dying. I am dying. That is so good, Betty. I'm so sorry. That feeling, though, when you spill something in your car and it's just you're watching it go, look,
and
you can't stop it.
Turn it over.
I've done it with water, Gatorade spilled all over me. It's just like that.
Such a small little opening. How does so much get out in such a fast amount of time?
I am dead, dude. Well, I needed that levity, Benjamin, and thank you for providing it. I think we all did. Just want to let the tier ones know how much we love and appreciate you guys and, you know, how sorry we are for the people up in L.A. for what's going on right now, man. Holy cow.
I've got a little bit of a surprise for you. I will start to let you in on that when we come back. First, though, I want to tell everybody about my great experience with Prize Picks Daily Fantasy Sports. I've been playing last few months all the way through football season. I did baseball season last year as well. It's really easy to play, and it's a lot of fun. All you have to do is pick more or less on stat projections from 2 to 6 players. Combine as many as you want, as few as you want. You can play your own game, run it the way you want, and win up to 1,000 times your cash. The power plays are when you're like, hey, I'm going with 4 players, and if they all win, I can really win a lot of money. You can go flex plays, though, and I go 3 players, and only 2 need to win, and you can win money in that circumstance as well. And when you download the app at Prize Picks, make sure you use our code KWFN. That's the radio station call signal. KWFN, you're going to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup, so make sure you download the app. It's very easy to set up. It's very easy to upload the funds. You can use MasterCard, Venmo, there's Apple Pay, different ways to do it, and then when you win, it's just as easy to get your money back. I get it. I've withdrawn money like in minutes. It's very fast, right back into your account, which I was worried about. They handle it really, really well. So check it out today. All the projections for the playoff games this weekend, college football as well. Do it today with Prize Picks. Run your game. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for details. Actually, I have a pretty busy show for you coming up today. We got a guest here about 15 minutes away. Someone we all really enjoy reading.
Love
him. C. Trent Rosecrans is a reporter for The Athletic. He covers the Reds and also wrote a piece about Roki Sasaki yesterday. I heard Annie and Braden talking about it on their show, and I thought it was very fascinating. He kind of explored what Joel Wolf had said was important to Roki Sasaki, and then sort of scientifically broke it down, like which team would make most sense then based on what he is looking for. And the results, well, they may surprise you, but we'll talk to C. Trent. I know you loved him in the Pete Rose documentary. He was very good in that.
Incredible. He's an incredible, incredible speaker, writer, all of it. He's one of my favorite authors out there, writers out there, covering the Cincinnati Reds. And again, that's a team that remains pretty fascinating to me. They're active. They're actively trying to improve. They just picked up Gavin Lux. They're an interesting team to cover. Probably more interesting for him to cover now than they were a few years ago.
We will talk about last night's San Diego State basketball game, which was a blowout as expected. It just didn't start that way. And it was a really unusual college basketball game at Viejas Arena last night. We'll get into that at 7 o'clock. Don't do this at 7:20. Then at 7:35, it's been a while, but he's been a longtime guest of the Ben and Woods program, Dennis Dodd, covering NCAA football for CBS Sports. And we will take a look at the national semifinal matchups, which begin tonight. Woods, with your Notre Dame Fighting Irish against the Penn State and Nittany Lions in the first of the two semifinals.
I wore my green today. You're supposed to wear green today if you're a Notre Dame fan. And so I wore my green today. I'm very nauseous and disgusted and sick about watching this game tonight. Which, again, I tweeted it over the break. There's nothing fun about sports. Nothing. There's literally nothing fun about sports. Unless your team wins, then that's fun. But the lead up to your team winning is absolutely excruciating and horrible. And you do wonder, there are people out there that aren't emotionally and almost physically tied to their favorite sports team. And that must be a refreshing feeling.
Yesterday, James Franklin, the coach at Penn State, said some comments that irked Notre Dame fans. I don't know if you were irked.
Well, it's the same old tired tropes that you've been hearing for years.
Well, you know, and I actually tend to agree with James Franklin, so we may fight about it a little bit.
Yeah, we will. I have one. I just have one word for you. That's all I have. I have one word in the response to what James Franklin said.
You want it now? No, no. We'll wait. Okay, we'll wait. Save it. We'll do that when we talk college football.
And it's not taint either.
Second half of the program, our new time slot for Take on Woods. Actually, it's Real or Fake today on a Throwback Thursday, although we're still going with our new open every day this
year.
We're just going Jim Morrison. So, and is it Queens of the Stone Age, right? That's the song.
Yes.
Yes. So that's every day on the open. But it is kind of a Throwback Thursday. So we'll play Real or Fake at 8:20. And then at 8:35, we have an interesting guest. His name's Willie Mack III. He's a pro golfer. He's going to be playing in the Farmers Insurance Open later this month at Torrey Pines. Has a really interesting story. He's won a bunch on the Advocates Tour. He made the U.S. Open last year. He's made a few PGA Tour starts. But you were just talking about eradicating homeless people earlier this week.
Oh, my God!
He actually used to be homeless himself as he was pursuing his golf career and life. So you can kind of talk about your philosophy with Willie Mack III when he joins us at 8:35.
Should we play it just so that people have the context in case they missed it? If you're a new audience, maybe you're listening for the first time. I had a horrible, horrible misspeak. Probably the worst misspeak of my career. And now it's going to haunt me for the rest of my life. Based on my experience with Peter Seidler, that was his vision. He wanted to win championships. He wanted to do it almost more than anything in the world. Eradicate homeless people.
Right.
Not eradicate homeless people.
Son of a...
Whoa.
Eradicate homelessness.
Whoa.
God, I was on such a good roll. I was feeling really good about where that segment was heading until I said he wants to eradicate homeless people, which was the very the opposite of what Peter Seidler wanted to do.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah, you don't do what he did. If you wanted to eradicate...
Luckily, you didn't have your way, or Willie Mack III wouldn't be around anymore to be on our show. So.
First of all, for the record, it is not my way. It's not my way at all. Quite the opposite.
You've changed.
And then in our final hour, we still have our football threesome. It'll be a little different today. We're just going to look ahead to all the wild card matchups. We got Saturday, Sunday, and Monday football, although there's obviously some concern about the game in Los Angeles, even though it's not until Monday.
Let's do a little pick 'em.
We'll do a little pick 'em for the football games. Why not? We'll just do all of them. We usually do our best bet, but might as well just...
Let's just pick 'em.
Just do all the games, and we can keep score.
Keep score.
Wow. Every year.
We've done it every year.
Let's do it again in the playoffs.
Nobody's ever done that on sports radio before, so that'll be cool and interesting.
NFL playoff games against the spread. We've invented a brand new sports radio segment.
People are going to be waking up. I just can't wait to hear Ben's playoff picks.
I saw a guy the other day in a thread, and he was talking crap about us, and he said that show's never had an original thought in their life, and I counter right now with how about a pick 'em of NFL football
there
games,
you go,
whoever you are.
Yeah,
suck on that.
My
dude.
Prediction is the rest of America could follow suit and start copying.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's not going to surprise me at all. Yeah. As a show that's never had an original thought.
I mean, before you know it, some guy is going to hear us making our picks, and then he's going to start a website where he offers picks.
Yeah,
and you can like pay
him
subscription fee for his picks.
Yeah.
That he says is never wrong.
I read that comment, and I go, is that? No, that's not true. I feel like we're a pretty original show. We kind of go against the grain and do things kind of the way that we want to do them. So I didn't let it bother me.
That's what makes him upset.
That's what gets him. Yeah, that's what gets him.
So, and we've got a Roundel report at the end of the show. But coming up in our next segment, I mentioned C. Trent Rosecrans. Also, got a little surprise for you. So
I don't like this. What is this?
My voice has been a bit of a moving target, obviously, the last couple of days. And everyone was like trying to guess, who does Ben sound like? And, you know, Louis Armstrong, Barry White.
Louis Armstrong.
Emperor Palpatine. There was a lot of guesses yesterday. And actually, as I was driving home, it finally struck me, at least who I sounded like yesterday. And it wasn't any of those people. And I figured it out. And
People guessed, like, mystical, like, you know. There were names all across the board.
Everyone was guessing.
Ja Rule.
This morning, I sound like the movie trailer guy, I've heard. But I finally figured it out, and Paulie and I put a little something together.
What?
Yeah, Ben texted me, and I go, oh, my God, you're right.
Yeah.
Love this.
Not one person guessed accurately.
So I want to give you a clue, and I want to see if you can try to figure it out. So here are the clues, and we'll reveal it after we talk to C. Trent Rosecrans in our next segment. He's an English singer and is a one-hit wonder from the early 90s. I will leave it at that, and you can ponder who I think that I sounded like yesterday, and all will be revealed after we talk to C. Trent Rosecrans about Roki Sasaki, Pete Rose, and more. We'll do that coming up next with Ben and Woods. But first, Woodsy's got something for you.
Yeah, my friends, I wanted to tell you about Underdog. If you're a sports fan here in California, my guess is that you are. Underdog is now available to play here in our state. The best place to cash in on all your takes during the playoffs. Which players are going to go off? Which ones are ice cold? I did a little Underdog last night for the Aztecs game. And I had six picks. I hit three of them. All of the Aztecs guys did what I picked them to do. None of the Air Force guys did what I picked them to do. So, hey, listen, it happens in daily fantasy, but I'm all in tonight. I'm all in tonight on the Notre Dame-Penn State game. So if you want to get in with me, it's a lot of fun, man. I've had so much fun. Won some cash over the break, certainly. It's really, really fun. Every dog deserves a second chance. With Underdog Rescues, you can get your money back, receive a promo if an early injury causes your entry to lose. So if you're looking at the Irish tonight, they're a little bit banged up. Jeremiah Love, I think he's over-under is at 38.5 yards. So for him, you may want to take that under, right? And then if he does get hurt, you can get your money back, which is pretty cool. So check it out. Underdog, the best place to play. Pick 'em. Download the app. Sign up with the promo code Woods, W-O-O-D-S. Deposit now to get up to $1,000 in bonus cash instantly. That's promo code Woods. You must be 18 and over, present in the state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.org.
The last time we saw our next guest, we were walking in front of the convention center. I guess it was baseball's winter meetings, I assume.
Yeah.
And just happened. Who was he walking with? AJ Cassavell or
Corey Brock?
Corey Brock. That's right. Follow the Padres formerly, and C. Trent Rosecrans with the Athletic was there, and it was nice to actually meet him in person, talk to him before, and we've got him on the line right now, joining us here on Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan. C. Trent, it is great to have you on. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Thanks for having me. It's less morning here than it is there.
True.
But it's also snowier here than it is there, I'm assuming.
Yeah, it was 70 yesterday, C-Trent, when I picked up my son from school. And it was just another reminder what a great, great city to be in. I'm looking behind you. You have a lot of Star Wars stuff. I apologize for my co-host sounding like Darth Vader. He doesn't usually sound like this. He's got a little bit of laryngitis.
No, yeah. I am your father.
Why would you apologize for such a thing?
That's true. Yeah. Actually, it's a good point, man. Good point. Well, we before we get into the piece that you wrote about Roki Sasaki, which was awesome yesterday, I wanted to commend you, talk to you about your appearance on the Pete Rose documentary. I loved it so much. I thought you described what it was like being a Pete Rose fan, knowing all the things that you knew, his legacy, all that. I think you knocked that out of the park. Like, it was so well done by you. How was that experience for you being on that documentary?
It was super cool. It was like two and a half years ago, and it was kind of weird. Like, I could tell right away that this was a real production.
Yeah.
You know, not like, no offense, it wasn't just like a StreamYard. It was like, there were like multiple cameras. And my favorite part was they had like a coffee cup next to me on the thing, and between every question they would refill it and say, don't drink from that. So I think it was dry ice, and so it had like that little waft of stuff, and I'm like, this is next level.
All right.
And so it was really cool. I told the people right away, I said, you know, hey, I'm not from Cincinnati, I never covered Pete, I've dealt with him a couple times, but I don't really know him. So I may not be the best person for this. And they're like, no, go ahead and do it anyway. So I did. And it was a really cool experience. And I thought they did a great job on that documentary. Yeah. Of kind of, you know, in journalism school or writing, what we always talk about is show, don't tell. And they showed Pete's issues and didn't as much tell them. And I thought it was really, really well done.
I'm going to start bringing dry ice into the studio and keeping a cup next to me. I, too, want that that air
vapory,
about me, the vapory air about me. I thought that's what a nice little trick.
So, see, Trent, now that, you know, his passing has been a few months, you know, what do you think is going to happen in terms of the legacy of Pete Rose going forward, the Hall of Fame, how the Reds handle this now in death?
Well, I think you're going to have both sides of it. If you're talking about the Hall of Fame on one end, I don't think they're going to change their stance at all. And on the other end, you have the Reds, who we already have May 14th, I think, when the White Sox are in town, fittingly, just because, well, why else would you come to a White Sox game on a Wednesday?
It's fair enough.
And so they're going to have a celebration that day. It's also the 50th anniversary of the Big Red Machine, its first World Series title. So I think there's going to be a lot of that, just to see if they can get some people out, because you bring in those guys, the fans are going to come to celebrate them. And I know I actually talked to Ken Griffey Jr. the other day, and he said he was planning on coming for that as well.
Such a dynamite name drop right there.
Pretty our producer, awesome flex, I'd say.
Our producer grew up in Seattle, and he's just like, I could just see his eyes go up like, oh, son of a gun, got to dust.
That'd be really cool.
Okay, if I'm going to be dropping things, I'll be like, it is still weird for me when I pick up the phone and it says Kenfee Jr., even though I've known Ken forever.
Ken.
I was at his house for the Hall of Fame induction, or the Hall of Fame call, which was really cool. He's just actually a really good dude. And we talk several times a year.
That's amazing. Talking to C. Trent Rosecrans, who is he covers the Reds for The Athletic. And I wanted to ask you about the Reds, because they were an interesting team to me last year. They made moves. It's refreshing to see. I know it gives a little bit of juice to the city. Long times Reds fans are longing for the days of the Big Red Machine, which was so long ago, but they've had talent over the years. They continue to kind of amass talent. And I think I'm most excited for you guys about getting Tito. Tito is one one of my favorite guys on the planet. Came out of some bad health and is now going to get back into it again. To be able to cover him on a daily basis, I'm actually quite jealous of that because he seems like such a good human being.
Zach Mizell, our Cleveland Guardians writer, texted me right away. He's like, "I'm so jealous of you," and he's a guy who had Tito forever, and just knows him. Tito's. It's been great so far. You know, I talked to him a couple weeks ago just because when I was finalizing my Hall of Fame ballot, I tried to talk to a bunch of people. That's why I talked to Ken as well, and several other people I kind of respect and know. So I always kind of take that into my research for Hall of Fame voting, which I spend way too much time on.
As I would too.
So let's talk about the piece, your fun piece you wrote for The Athletic yesterday on the Rookie Sasaki sweepstakes, because you tried to, I think it was interesting. You made something that's inherently unscientific a little bit scientific, parsing the words of Joel Wolf, his agent, what he was looking for in a team, and then try to determine what would be the best fit. So kind of explain your methodology for our audience and how you came to the conclusions that you did.
Well, I'm glad you said fun, first of all. I think some people thought I was trying to be like totally serious.
No,
and it was fun just because there were some like different things that Joel Wolf said at the winter meetings that were a little different and kind of raised some eyebrows. Most saying like, hey, maybe a small market might be something he would be interested in, and they might have that might be some of an advantage. And I thought that was weird, and I think a lot of people had caught their ear. And then I had someone from a team call me and be like, hey, can you get me the BBWA roles for each chapter? Because we want to put that in our pitch, because we think we have one of the smaller ones.
Oh.
It's like, that's interesting. And so that kind of got me thinking, like, okay, what can we look at? Because that is an interesting metric that he threw out there. And I was like, okay, so let me go through what Joel said at the winter meetings and kind of identify a couple of criteria. And each was hard to quantify. And I think I put that in there because each one I just said, here's the limitations of what I chose and here's why I chose it. So there were four. And one of those was the media market, like I said. And so to do that, we just took how many BBWA members were in each chapter, because there are 26, 28, I don't remember, because seven, because New York, Baltimore, 26. New York, Baltimore, Washington, Chicago, and L.A. have multiple teams for those cities, so
that makes
you don't
sense.
Have 30 chapters. And so that was also noted in the methodology that said, hey, you know, the Cubs have more people covering them than the White Sox, and the Dodgers more than the Angels, those kind of things. Oh, and the Bay Area, too. So that was mentioned, and where it came down to is you kind of looked at it, and that's the people who travel every day. And it is, I always say, if you're not on the road, you're not on the beat.
Yeah.
Because that is where the stuff goes. I remember when Matt Harvey made his first start for the Reds after being traded, and we're in Los Angeles, and he's like sitting there waiting for everybody to get there before he starts talking. And we're like, and I go, Matt, this is everybody.
This is all of us. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And so he's like, all right, let's go. And so, like, there is a difference. Now, of course, with Japanese players, it is different because Roki Sasaki is going to have a number of Japanese media personnel covering him. And so, I mean, you guys see that with Otani and some of the other guys. I mean, I meant Darvish for you guys. Sorry.
Yeah, for us.
But yeah, so that was one of them. And I looked at that and like, so here were the smallest markets. And then another one was success on the field. That's easy. Like, it just, you know, I went back 4 years because that's recent. And it also doesn't count 2020 because 2020 screws everything up for everything. And then the another one was pitching development, and that was harder. And I did Cy Young stuff just because I was trying to think about top end. And I had average ERA in there, and it didn't change really the results that much because I did do all the calculations. And I liked the Cy Young just voting because it was talking about, you know, Sasaki has talked about how he wants to be the best ever. He wants to be on that Ohtani level.
Yeah, he's a top-end pitcher.
And so that's what we're talking about. He wants someone to make him great, to be the best pitcher in baseball. And how do you measure that? Well, the Cy Young every year tries to do that.
Yeah.
So that is why I use that metric. And then the final one was just kind of a mention about getting to and from Japan, and not just for Sasaki, but for his friends, family, etc. And so, like, looking at exactly how long those flights are and how long it takes, and who has those flights. I think there are 15 flights in the U.S., or 15 airports in the U.S. that have direct flights to Japan, plus Toronto. And then, like, you know, you guys have done it. You're in Southern California. You avoid LAX at all costs.
Correct.
So, I mean, like, that doesn't count. You know, there's wiggle room in there, but, like, you know, I will drive 2 hours out of my way not to go to LAX. And I think everybody else would there would agree with that, anybody who's been to LAX. And then, so again, that's another place where San Diego shined, because there's nothing better than flying into San Diego,
nothing.
A quick cab, Uber, or Lyft, whatever, to the hotel and ballpark. You know, that's where San Diego came out on top.
That's the bottom line here.
Yeah, the bottom line. That's
after you put it all together. The Padres were number one on the
Between
list, which is why
media market,
flights, development, and wins.
Development, yep. all of that.
What it's doing, though, C. Trent, is potentially setting us up for more heartbreak and failure. As you know, that is
because the Padres never spend money in free agency.
Right. I mean, look, he is a guy. We've talked about it ad nauseum. I mean, the offseason, really, it's slow. As far as moves on the field, certainly here in San Diego, but Roki is a guy that changes the entire complexion, really, of any team he goes to because of, well, his affordability and just how good he's been, and the potential, the ceiling of Roki Sasaki is something that is, it's got us salivating. And really, I think I'm going to need the day off if he doesn't come here. You know what I mean? A day of mourning the next day, because it is, it's going to be tough, especially if he ends up where, you know, kind of where we think he will end up. And you just mentioned LAX. That's one that'll hurt. That's one that'll sting for a while.
Yeah. I mean, like, I could see it if you're in San Diego. I mean, like, anybody but the Dodgers, but the Dodgers. Like, one Padres, two anybody but the Dodgers.
Correct. Yeah. That's pretty
three
much
Dodgers.
It.
Yeah.
That's kind of how we live our lives.
Yeah. That's pretty much it. Yeah.
570.
Yeah. That's how we live Dodgers. Our lives.
Yeah, you know, it's a fun piece. People should check it out. See Trent if they have the Athletic subscription, which we do, and everyone should. We thank you for your time this morning. Again, great job on that Pete Rose documentary as well, and hopefully we'll catch up with you again during the season, maybe when the Reds and Padres square off.
Yeah, would love it.
Anytime, guys. Thanks so
man.
Much.
Appreciate you.
See Trent Rosecrans from the Athletic. Yeah, he put all his factors together.
I love it.
And I wasn't expecting when I read the piece that at the end that the Padres would be on top, but he made a pretty good case that there's a reason why, you know, Roki Sasaki is probably strongly considering the Padres. He ticks the boxes of what he's looking for well with the San Diego Padres. And, yeah, I mean, should you be confident? I wouldn't say confident. I'd say you should feel at least there's a chance.
You're in the mix.
That you're in. You're strongly.
It was interesting. Like, the way that he put it all together, C. Trent did in The Athletic.
Yeah, it's cool.
Like, for the Padres to come out as a clear number one.
Yeah.
And then you look at the Dodgers. They're, like,
way down.
Very middle of the road. Like, middle of the pack. And you go, huh.
The media market thing hurt them. I mean, you know, we're talking about the scrum size, essentially. Yeah. Like, is there going to be 60 people around you every day when you speak at your locker or six?
I told
and
you. Yeah. If we get him, I won't even look at that man. I will not
exactly.
look at him. I will not say anything to him. I just want to watch him pitch every sixth day. I won't bug anybody. I don't even go down there anyway. But if they said, all right, we'll get Roki, you can't come down all year. Done. I don't care. I just want to watch this kid pitch. I want to watch him pitch and stay and be a San Diego Padre, man.
I saw some guesses in the chat as to who it was that I actually sounded like yesterday. We will reveal and surprise Woods a little bit when we come back from traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. Now, Paul, you have to admit, this is a little out of character for me. This is usually something...
extremely out of character.
This is usually something Woods would have to, like, twist my arm...
prod you.
...and make me do. But yeah. I feel like I'm trying to grow a little bit.
Look at you. I'm proud of you, man.
I heard it. I was like talking to myself in the car, and I go, I know that voice. Where do I know that voice? And it finally struck me, because it's so weird to hear someone else's voice coming out of your mouth.
Yeah.
It's very bizarre.
Can I read the text that you sent?
Sure,
me? Please. I thought this was growth. Listen to our old pal Ben Higgins yesterday. I'm driving home, and he texts me, and he says, I finally realized who I sounded like, so I decided to take a chance on a bit and recorded something as soon as I got home before my voice got worse. Let me know what you think, and if you like it, you can punch it up with some production, and we can surprise Woods.
This guy.
And I go, look, full disclosure, I see that. Before I get the file that you sent over with it,
nervous.
I just see the text and I go, this is going to be a banger, I'm sure.
Yeah. So without any further delay, ladies and gentlemen, right said Ben.
Perfect.
I'm too sexy for my shirt.
Oh.
Too sexy for my shirt.
Oh my God.
So sexy it hurts. And I'm too sexy for Milan. Too sexy for Milan, New York, and Japan.
He's got the accent down and everything.
I can't even speak.
And I'm too sexy for your body.
You have prior fill timing,
for your
though.
Body. In a way, I'm disco dancing. I'm a model, if you know what I mean. And I do my little turn on the catwalk. Yeah, on the catwalk. On the catwalk. Yeah, I do my little turn on the catwalk.
You're a legend. Oh, it gets better.
It gets better.
Oh, yeah.
I'm too sexy for my car. Too sexy for my car. Too sexy by far. I'm too sexy for my hat. Too sexy for my hat. What you think about that? I'm a model. Oh. You know what I mean.
No.
And I do my little turn on the catwalk. Yeah, on the catwalk.
What do you do on the catwalk?
On the catwalk.
He does his little turn.
I shake my little tush on the catwalk.
Save that forever. Save that for...
Wait, you don't even know what you need to save yet.
You got
to
remember the last verse.
The last verse is coming.
I'll remember.
Oh. Strap in.
I'm too sexy for my cat. Too sexy for my cat. Poor pussy. Poor pussy cat. I'm... too sexy for my love. Too sexy for my love. Love's gonna leave me. And I'm too sexy for this song.
Oh.
Mm.
I love it.
What can I say? Like, that is...
elite.
I thought that's who I sounded like yesterday.
I'm completely, completely blown away and proud. That's how I feel. Like a proud dad. So proud of you. I had nothing to do with that. I didn't even know it was coming till today.
And now I get to talk Aztecs when we come back.
Oh, all right. Yeah, you know what? You've earned it.
Thank you.
Good trade.
Man, San Diego State Air Force last night. It's coming up next. Ben Woods, hour number two on 97.3 The Fan.